I like to introduce myself. I can tell all sorts of lies here. My wife is telling me to turn the microphone on. Okay, I think I'm all wired up now. I'm, of course, retired from First Baptist Church, Madison, where I was a minister for 31 years. And during those 31 years, we broadcast live on radio. So what people did to hear me in the sanctuary, who were hearing impaired, I didn't wear anything like this. We broadcast on the radio, so they brought their own little transistor radios and put in their air plug and listened to me over the radio. At least that's what they say they were doing. But you never know for sure. Of course, another situation with being on the radio like that, we got cut off at 5 minutes till 12. And the radio audience, people who had been listening to the previous minister when I came, told me they had never heard the end of a sermon. And they wanted to hear the end of a sermon. So I promised they would hear the end of the sermon. So today, you have the end of the sermon. Libby and I lived in Madison altogether for 35 years. Libby was an elementary school teacher, and we had three grown daughters, two living in the Raleigh area, and one living up here on Parks Road. She married a Lookerville and came to live in Davidson County, and we came to live in Davidson County about almost 1 year ago as well as our retirement home, and we have enjoyed it so far with the nice mild winters you have here so far, and we hope it will continue. Up in Rockingham County, we have some notoriously bad winters at times. I want to read several verses of Scripture to help us focus our thoughts. Very familiar, from the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, just verse 1. And you know it. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And from Luke's Gospel, the 12th chapter, verses 32 and 33, and again, you know these. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that won't wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And now from the book of Timothy, a little verse or two again that I'm sure you're familiar with, from the fourth chapter. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. This is, of course, New Year's Day, and it's obvious that we live in a world of change. The seasons change, and I'm thankful for that because I have learned to dislike winter, and I'm always glad to see spring come. Communications change. We used to write letters, now we do emails and we Twitter. Calling on the telephone has changed. I'm sure many of you remember when you picked up the phone and an operator would say, number please, and you gave her not 4 digits, but 3 digits. And now, of course, we call with cell phones and iPhones. Church communications have changed from ringing the bell to websites. The world of work has changed. We've gone from a world of less manufacturing to more service jobs, and really in Davidson County, like most places in North Carolina, fewer jobs. And people change too. Have you noticed that? Even grandmothers changed, and I really noticed that. In my childhood, the custom was, at least in my family, we would go visit grandma on Sunday afternoon, and grandma would usually be sitting in her rocking chair in the front room, the parlor, or the front porch, depending on the season. But grandmothers have changed, and I've gone from visiting a grandmother on Sunday afternoons to living with a grandmother full time. But not just a grandmother of 7 grandchildren ranging in age from 8 months to 8 years old, and we babysit some of them sometimes, and they wear us out. But grandmothers really have changed. One poet put it this way, in the dim and distant past, when life's tempo wasn't so fast, grandma used to rock and knit, crochet, tap, and babysit. When the kids were in a jam, they could always call on Gram. But today she's in the gym, exercising to keep slim. She's checking the web or surfing the net, sending emails. Now she's really set. Nothing seems to stop or block her now that Grandma's off her rocker. Of course, today grandmas don't have rockers, do they? They have walking shoes and tennis shoes and golf clubs, and some even have convertibles, I've seen. The world and people have changed in a great many ways, but yet some ultimates have not changed. One ultimate that has not changed in life, in spite of all the changes in health care and medical care, as your prayer list notes, is that life still ends. We do leave this earthly body. So thus the title of the sermon, Who Will Cry at Your Funeral? That's a question of a man named Patrick Marley, who wrote the book called The Man in the Mirror, wrote several years ago, speaking about life. Marley and his wife were successful in business, very successful. A lot of money, but tight schedules, business, civic responsibilities. But meanwhile, at home, they had young children who needed their attention. So one evening, they sat down and reviewed their time-consuming responsibilities, and the thought came, why not prioritize everything that we do on the basis of who will be crying at our funerals? And they did. And they claimed the results changed their lives and their family. For after all, they concluded, why should we give all our time and energies to people who don't love us, don't care about us, at the expense of those who do? And that's a powerful question anytime. And it forces us to examine, how do we use our time? How do we use our minutes? For time, after all, is a very valuable commodity. The Old Testament reading in Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything, and as you know, he goes on to list a whole list of times for something. And Jesus was, of course, concerned about how we use our time. And it tells us over and over again to be ready for certain situations and certain times, to be ready. And, of course, the use of time is really a measure of our spiritual well-being. Just as the use of our financial resources is a measure of our spiritual well-being, maybe the use of our time is even more so. For Luke puts it, where the treasure is, where our treasure is, that's where our thoughts are, that's where our heart is, that's who we are, really. Where our treasure is, that's who we are. And we often say time is money. You say that, I'm sure. And that's more true than we realize. I saw a story of a man who came to an impressive building. It looked like one of these big bank buildings that we see in downtown Lexington of 7, 8, or 9, or 10 stories. But this was not a bank. Instead, the building had a sign up, time for sale, time for sale. And people were entering the building. One man entered the building who was pale, thin, looked like he was ready to die. He painfully made his way up the stairs into the building and stepped up to the person who met him there and said, I want to buy some time. The doctor told me I was 5 years late coming to him. If I had come earlier, he could have cured me. So I want to buy 5 years so I can go to the doctor and be cured. Another man came in and he said, I waited until I was in my 50s to stop drinking and rabble rousing and all that. And then in my 50s, I discovered I have a talent to be an artist. But I found my hands shake for all my drinking, my rabble rousing has messed me up. My hands shake and I can't be the artist I could have been. I want to buy some years back so I can be young again and start over. And a young woman came in with 2 little babies. She said, I grew up too fast. I never let myself be a child. I want to buy back the years of my childhood. But the fact is, of course, that in life we do pay for things with time rather than money. Our houses cost us the time that it took to earn the money to buy them. Our automobiles cost us the time that it took to earn the money to buy them. Even lunch today is going to cost the time that we took to earn the money to buy lunch. Unless, of course, you are like Libby and I, we have coupons for Hardee's and Burger King that would give us a lunch pretty much free. But the phrase spending your time is really not a metaphor. It's really how life works in the long run. And many of us are really not good stewards of it. Several years ago, we were said to average 2,000 hours a year watching television. The only thing that we did more was work and sleep. And I suspect today that that time watching television has been supplanted in many households by time on the internet. But the point is that we spend a lot of our time doing things that are really not that important. Not using time wisely. We're not using time wisely. There's an epic tale that some of you might remember from high school about the Iliad, the Greek king Odysseus, who leads his army on all sorts of adventures for 10 years in search of Helen of Troy, the beautiful woman. During that time, he discovers that he likes being an adventurer, and he keeps his army out another 10 years. So they are away for 20 years, and finally they come to the other ends of the earth as they believed it to be. Meanwhile, of course, his wife is back home, his children are back home growing up. They don't know what's happened to their king, their husband and king. But Odysseus and his men come to the ends of the earth, the place the Greeks call Hades, where they believe that the people went when they died to live again in some shady afterlife. And there, as Odysseus and his crew come to Hades, the people there ask about the world of the living. What's going on back in the world of the living? Tell us about our family and our friends. And then Odysseus realizes that he has been away from home longer than many people he meets there in the land of the dead. And he resolves to go back home and change his life and spend his time being with and caring about those people who will cry at his funeral. The truth is, many of us have not given much thought to that. Who will cry at our funerals? Who will cry at our funerals? What can be done to change that? Well, this is New Year's Day, so maybe some New Year's resolutions are in order. So let's try a resolution or two. I think, first of all, learn to put first in life the big things, the worthy treasures, as Luke would put it. A seminar leader was speaking to a group of business students, and he said, to drive home a point, I'm going to give you a quiz. And he pulled out one of these big gallon jars like grandma used to can pickles in, and he produced some big fist-sized rocks, and he put rocks in, and he filled it up, and he held it up for all the students to see that no more big rocks would fit in. And he said, is this jar full? And they said, yeah, sure it's full. He shook his head, no, it's not. Then he got some gravel, and he poured in some gravel into the jar and let the gravel settle in among the rocks. And he asked again, is this jar full? And now the students were catching on, and they said, well, probably not. And he said, that's right. And he pulled out some sand, he poured some sand in, and the sand settled in between the big rocks and the gravel, and he got a good bit of sand in. And he said again to the students, is this jar full? And they said, no, it's not full. And then he pulled out some water, and he poured water into the jar, and it finally was brimming to the top with water. And he asked the students, what's the point of this illustration? And one eager beaver student said, the point is that no matter how crowded your schedule is, if you try really hard, you can always work something else in. But the leader said, no, it's not. The truth in this illustration is, unless you put in the big rocks first, they will never get in at all. And I think that applies to life. If we don't put the big things first, the big things never get done at all. They get crowded out by the sand, the gravel, the water, the little stuff. So the question becomes then, what is the big stuff? And most of us struggle, I think, to determine what the big rocks are. And sometimes we, through our struggles, trial and error process, we find what the big rocks are. But that takes a long time and it's hurtful. But another process is sometimes what we call simplification. But as we age, we simplify life and we gradually cast off the things that are not important. Have any of you noticed that as you've gotten older that you have started pushing away some things that are not important and focusing on what really is important? One of the best ways to see this process of simplification at work is to observe the aging process and the changes that many people go through in places of residence where they live as they get older. Back in the late 90s, my mother moved up here from South Carolina to live at the Baptist home in Brook Ridge in Winston-Salem. And I was in and out there during the 14 months that she was a resident there. And some of you may be familiar with Brookridge Baptist Retirement Home. You know you can live on the campus in a cottage, pretty much live like you are independent. But the thing is, when you move into the cottage, you can't bring all your furniture because the cottage is smaller than your house, so you have to leave some furniture behind. You decide which is the big rocks of the furniture that you really want to keep and take that with you. And then people who live in the cottages after a couple of years will age and need some more help, and they will move into sort of semi-assisted living into a little apartment. And again, they can move from the cottage with some of their furniture, but not all of it. Some has to be left behind again. And from assisted living, many go into the healthcare unit, into one room. And basically all you take with you then is a favorite rocking chair or two, and everything else is left behind. Again, you have simplified things. And finally, like my mother, you move into the intensive care unit, nursing care unit, where you carry no furniture of your own. Everything there is medical equipment, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing you can carry there are what I call the big rocks. You carry with you into a place like that the love of family and friends, the peace of heart and mind that you have strived to develop, and you carry with you your faith in God. You carry with you your faith in God. Of course, the important thing to remember here is that these big rocks that we carry with us into this last stage of life are not things that we can develop all at once. For we can't develop relationships with family and friends instantly. We can't develop peace of mind and soul instantly. Nor do we develop a real, durable, lasting, healthy, mature faith instantly. These are things that we do over the process of life as we use that gift called time, where in those minutes we determine where our heart truly is, what is our treasure early in life. But time is really the magic word here, and time, once passed, can't be brought back. I always told people in Madison that in every sermon I tried to tell at least one terrible story as an illustration. So here's the really terrible story for today's illustration. A farmer was working on his tractor close to the highway, and he noticed a hare, H-A-R-E, or as we call them, rabbit. And this hare ran out in the road in front of an oncoming car and was pancaked and smushed. Well, nonetheless, the driver who hit the hare stopped and looked at it, and it's flat as it can be. And he goes to the trunk of his car and takes out a spray can. And he starts spraying this rabbit, this hare, with the spray can. And the farmer's watching all this from his tractor. And the man from the car keeps spraying until the can is about empty. But then the rabbit starts perking up. And the rabbit stands up, shakes his head, twists his nose a little bit. And finally, it hops away. It hops three steps and waves. It goes another three steps and waves. And it keeps doing that until it's into the woods. This hare goes three steps, stops, and waves. Well, the farmer has never seen such a thing, so he gets down from his tractor and he comes over to the driver and asks him what in the world was in that can. And the driver showed him that spray can, and the spray can said, "Hair restore with permanent wave." See, I told you this was a terrible story. And as far as I know, it's fiction. But there's nothing in a can that can pump up a pancake rabbit. Although there is something in a can that can pump up a pancake tire. You've seen those cans you can hook up two tires and push the button. Public tire, I gave all three of my daughters one of those as soon as they started driving. But the point is here, that once time has passed, there's nothing we can spray or take to get it back. It's gone. Someone put it like this: to realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who has failed his final exams. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a young mother who has given birth prematurely by a month or two. To realize the value of a week, ask the young couple separated by a business trip, to realize the value one day, ask the day laborer who has 8 kids to feed and needs that day's pay very, very badly. To realize the value one hour, ask the teenager waiting for a text message to come. To realize the value of a minute, ask the person who has just missed the train or the bus or the plane by a minute. To realize the value of a second, ask a person who has just survived an accident. To realize the value of 1 millisecond, ask the person who has just won a silver medal in the Olympics. And to that I would add this, to realize the value of a lifetime, ask who will be crying at your funeral. Well, that's the question, really. That's the question which will reveal the people, the ideals, the faith, the big rocks. Who was important? What was important? These will say a lot about how we have lived or how we are living, and it will tell us what we need to change. After all, someone says that our folks are our riches and our faith is our goal. There is a time, as Ecclesiastes put it, for everything under the heavens, but it's up to us to make sure that things come in the proper order, that the proper time in life, the proper things get our time, our energy, and our perspective, that we learn to love God more than temporal things, not later, but earlier in life. For life, after all, on this earth is limited by time. It does run out. The parking meter of life does eventually expire. Our challenge becomes to give our time to God's service, to those who love us. And if we do that, the tears at our funeral will not just be tears of sadness, but also of joy, because our time on this earth has been well spent and is an indication that one's life has taken on an eternal dimension where time does not run out. And at some funeral, or as we are prone to call it now, a celebration of life, the minister will say of us, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord my God has given me. Need a New Year's resolution? Try resolving to enrich relationships with family and friends. Try resolving to work for that thing called peace of mind. Try resolving to accomplish both by enhancing one's relationship with God and by living and doing things as Jesus has taught us. For God has given us a new day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the gift of life, for each day that we have, for the opportunities that we have to spend our time. And we pray that we might be guided by thy word to spend our time wisely, that we might spend it doing good things for others, by loving our neighbors, by caring about those who are hurt, by feeding the hungry and clothing the poor, and by serving our church. Our Lord, we know that the time on this earth does run out, but yet we know, too, that we can transfer our treasure from here to eternity. Help us to do that as we live this day and each day that you see fit to give us. In Christ's name, amen.